against you with the truth. Now think about it. If you were to walk out, just imagine for just a moment, if you were to walk out this church building and instead of on the sign it reading Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, what if it were to read Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses? How much different would your life be right now? What if it said Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? What if you didn't have the truth? You know, we peel our heads at night, those of us who are saved, we peel our heads at night in peace, knowing if we don't wake up in the morning, everything's going to be okay. Because we have the truth of God's Word. Christ said, I'm the truth, and truth shall set you free. You know, we have Christ, our Lord, abiding on the inside. Amen. And we have that truth and that peace in our hearts. But, you know, don't you want everybody in the world to have that same opportunity to hear the truth as you had? And so that's what God is doing in our lives, is he's burdened our hearts to make sure everybody in Arizona has the opportunity to hear the truth. You see, the Jehovah's Witnesses are out there, the Mormons are out there, and they're telling their message, but they're not telling the glad tidings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God is burdened our hearts for, is to make sure that everybody in Arizona has the opportunity to hear the truth. You see, in this area of our country, there's a good fundamental Baptist presence here. But out west, they don't have that. And so we just ask that you prayerfully consider supporting our ministry and helping us get to Arizona and planting church and churches so that we can make sure everybody hears the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ out there. And I have a display here. If you would, stop by and pick up a prayer card. And please pray for the Wilson family, that God would help us to be witnesses in Arizona. And I thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here tonight. And thank you for your attention during my presentation. We're going to be looking in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. I hope this thing is on. I turned it on. Okay, good. Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, if you would stand, please, as I read the Word of God, if you don't mind, if you're able and willing. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on faith, promise, missions, giving, but I'm going to approach it from a different direction. I would like to mainly emphasize the fact of faith in missions giving. And so if you would, listen up here. Now, I know that this church practices faith, promise, missions, giving. I know that that's what you're involved in. And so I'm not going to hit so much on what faith, promise, missions, giving is. I will touch on that a little bit in case somebody here might not know what it is. But I would like to mainly focus on the faith that we need to follow through with that commitment that we've made to God in faith, promise, missions, giving. Now, faith, promise, missions, giving is not a pledge. I don't preach it like it's a pledge to the church. What I preach is that you you make a promise with God that you trust in Him, that He's going to give through you, and as long as God provides that, then that's what you give. That's the way I preach it. I don't preach as a pledge. You know, a pledge, if you make a pledge to the church, a pledge is something, well, the church could come to you and remind you of that pledge, that you didn't give that pledge. Well, that's not what Faith Promise Missions giving is all about. You see, it's all about faith and trusting in God to give through you what He normally would not give to you, so that you can give to the missions program of your local church. And that's what it's about. And so if God doesn't provide it for you, well, you don't have to give it, because you're trusting God to give it. And it's a promise between you and God. But as we look at this, we'll see that if God has put a figure on your heart, I believe, an amount for you to give to the faith, to the missions program at your church, God will provide that if you trust Him for it. You know, we come to God and this is how it all starts out. If you're not familiar with it, it starts out by asking God to put a figure on our heart. And God, and basically we say, God, how much can I trust you to give to me so that I can give to the missions program of my local church? Now, I'm a firm believer in Faith Promise Missions giving. And I've been practicing it for several years, but I've really got a good hold of it in the past 3 to 4 years. And I may be sharing that with you a little bit later. But as we look in Hebrews chapter 12, we know that in chapter 11 we talk about people that we call it our hall of faith, so to speak. And so then when we get into chapter 12, it says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And so we see that the faith is coming into chapter 12 as well, that we are to run a race by faith. So first of all, as we look at this, I'm just going to simply title it, Looking to Jesus for Missions Given. I mean, it's just a simple title, nothing fancy here. But when we do this, first of all, we run with patience. We see some commands here. First of all, we see that we run with patience. And this is our pace. We see that in verse 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, it's important that we pace ourselves the way God wants us to in Faith Promise Missions giving. In other words, we don't start out saying, oh God, well, I'm just going to trust you to give me $10,000 a month to our missions program. Now let me ask you this. If we started out that way, do you think God could give me $10,000 a month to give to my missions program? Do you believe God's powerful enough to do that? Yes, He is. Do you think God would? Probably not. You know what? I can't trust God that much right off of hand. But you know, Faith Promise Missions Giving is according to how much faith we personally have in God to supply through us. So we want run with patience. That's our pace. Our pace is to go with God, not to get ahead of Him. And by the way, we're also not to get behind Him. If God puts on your heart to give $50 a week, maybe, well, don't you, and you believe that that's possible and you could do that, don't you go giving $40 a week. You see, we pace ourselves with what God has put on our hearts, and we do it according to how He would have us to do. Now let's look for a few moments in chapter 12 at those who went with God by faith. And we'll go and apply it to missions giving. Looking at Abraham in verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, we see here Abraham was told by God one day, and I don't know what day it was. I don't know what Abraham was doing in particular, but we know that the Word of God says that God approached Abraham and said, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go to a place that I will show thee up. Now think about this for just a moment. Abraham had to get his family together. And he had to get his things together. And it may have went like this. You know, Abraham was a rich man. And maybe he had to go down to the bank and say, Mr. Banker, I'm going to make a withdrawal. Well, sure, how much do you want? Well, I want all of it. Really, why are you closing out our accounts here, your accounts here? Well, I'm leaving town and I'm not coming back. Really, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. That's basically how that conversation would have went. You mean you don't know where? That's right, I don't know where I'm going. Well, how do you know when you'll get there? God will tell me. Now, here's the real clincher. Abraham had to come to Sarah one day and say, Sarah, pack up. We're leaving house. We're leaving everything. Well, why? Well, where are we going? I don't know. You mean you don't know? Now, listen here. Men, you know this. Women have to have security. They have to know what's going on. If I was to come to my wife and say, pack up, we're leaving, I don't know where we're going, but God does. That would trouble her. And I'm sure that probably troubled Sarah there for a while. But the Bible says he didn't know where he was going. And let me say this in relation to faith, promise, missions given. You know, we never really know how this thing's going to turn out in the end. Do we? When we give to our local church in the missions program, we don't know how many people are going to get saved by that. We don't know what all is going to happen with that money that we give to these missionaries. But we know by faith that God is going to do something with it. And in the end, you see, we're looking at this thing from a faith standpoint. In the end, there's going to be one day we're going to stand in heaven. And we're going to see everything of the result of faith, promise, missions, giving. We won't see it down here, but God will reveal it to us one day. But then look at Joseph in verse 22. Look, and he says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You see, Joseph, he told the children of Israel before he died, he told his brothers before he died, he said, don't you bury my body here. God's going to deliver you out of this place, and I want you to take my bones with you. In other words, Joseph was looking ahead toward that promise that God had given them. Now, when Joseph died, they put his bones in a coffin. And they didn't bury it. That coffin sat around for almost 400 years. And can you imagine maybe one of the kids come up and say, what's that sitting there? Well, that's Joseph's bones. Well, why don't you bury it like you bury everybody else's bodies? Well, Joseph told us about a promise that we're going to receive one of these days. And we're leaving it sitting there until we get ready to get up and get out of here. You see, the faith that Joseph had affected generation after generation for hundreds of years. You know, if you get a hold of faith, promise, missions, given, you can pass that down to your children and your children's children until God comes. But he was looking forward to a promise that one day they were leaving. And what we're doing is when we're giving, we're looking forward to the promise that if we give, God's going to save the lost. And so God's given us wonderful promises. Look at Moses in verse 24. Look, he says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So here we see Moses, who was ready to be the next king, the next Pharaoh of Egypt. He was being groomed for that position. But with events happening to his life and God coming into his life, he refused to take that position, a position of honor and prestige, and he decided that he was going to follow his God by faith. In other words, he got rid of those things that would hinder him from serving the Lord. And so that's what we do when we're doing faith promise missions giving. You know, there's things that hinder us sometimes from serving God completely in our lives. You know, maybe the conversation has gone this way and you hear, well, there's no way I could give to missions. I've got that boat. Or maybe I've got that whatever. But you fill in the blank. And so there may be something in your life that's hindering you from taking part in Faith Promise Missions giving that you really don't need. And if you were to give that up, you would have the ability and be able to put your faith in God to supply what you need to give to the missions program of your church. Are y'all with me there? Y'all understand that? So he got rid of things that would hinder him. And then look in verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. So we see that the Egyptians entered or passed through the Red Sea by faith. You know, when we walk with God by faith, we walk in places that we'll never go, that we've never been before. You see, before this time, nobody had ever walked on the bottom of the Dead Sea, of the Red Sea. Nobody did. But you know that God led them by faith to walk across it. And if you put your trust in God to help you give to the missions program of your church, you'll go places you'll never thought you'd ever be. You'll experience things with God you never thought you would ever experience. And we do that by faith. Look at Joshua in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, here we see Joshua getting ready to enter into battle, but he has an obstacle in front of him, a wall. And God, and Joshua trusted God to remove that obstacle. You know, we let things, if we don't put our trust in God, we let obstacles come in the way of us serving God, don't we? Now, I've been the office manager for Prayer Baptist Missions in December. It'll be 10 years now. And I've seen when I first started out, for the first several years, every once in a while, maybe two or three times a year, I would get a letter from a church saying, we're not able to support our missions, our missionaries anymore because we've been hit hard financially and we're just not able to do that. And so they were having to cut down on their missions budget. And I would get those maybe once, two, three times a year. In January of this year, there was 1 week where I received 5 of those letters of churches having to drop their missionaries because of hard times, obstacles. You see, I've noticed a trend that as time goes on, more and more churches are dropping missionaries and they're just letting them go. Because of our economy. In other words, there are any obstacles that come before them. They just don't have the faith to put in God to allow them to see them through this. Now let me ask you something. What is the prerequisite for faith promise missions giving? Tell me. What's the number one thing you need for faith promise? What is it? You need faith. Now, where does faith come from? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is that not correct? So the way we get faith is by hearing the Word of God. Now, whose responsibility is it in the church for people to hear the Word of God? Who's responsible for that? The pastor. So here we have pastors sending me letters telling me their people aren't given the faith promise missions given, and they don't realize that it's an indictment on themselves that they haven't been preaching the Word of God so that they can have the faith to give to God. Isn't that something? You see, Joshua here met an obstacle, but he put faith in God that he was going to take that away from him and give him the victory. You know, when we have obstacles in our lives, what we ought to do is put our faith in God that he's going to help us through that and meet our faith promise. Now, so we run with patience. That's our pace. Listen to a few verses here. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have their perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So our faith is supposed to work patience in us. And when we're talking about faith promise missions given, we need to be patient, not get ahead of God. In other words, we use a steady pace. When I was in high school, I was involved in an organization called Civil Air Patrol. Have you ever heard of that, Civil Air Patrol? We were trained in search and rescue, and if a plane were to go down, a civil aircraft would go down, we would go and find it and things like that. And we participated in some competitions between other squadrons. And one of those competitions was running cross country. And as we were running, as we started training, I just started out. I said, you know what, I noticed how people were running. As soon as they'd fire that gun, a lot of them would just start out just sprinting. I mean, we had a ways to go, and they'd just start sprinting out. And I thought to myself, I think I'll just go at a nice steady pace. Yeah, they got very far ahead of me. But you know what? It wasn't long down the road that I passed them up, just going a steady pace. And that's the way it is with faith promise missions giving. We have to start out at a steady pace, or we'll get tired in this race and not want to run it anymore. So we look to... We run with patience. He's our pace. And that's our pace. And then we look to Jesus. He's our power. Look in verse 2 back in Hebrews 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we look to Jesus. He's our power. Now, we know that he has power because he endured the cross. That's how we know he has power. In John 10, verse 17, 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So we look to him for power, and we look to him for power just like our examples in the Bible look to Jesus for power. You remember David and Goliath, when David was going up, you know, Saul tried to put all that armor on him. He said, you know what, I hadn't proved this. I can't do this. And he said, the battle is the Lord's. And he went in the name of the Lord our God. And that's how he fought it, with power there. Remember Daniel in the lion's den, and he was convinced that God was able to deliver him out of that lion's den. Remember the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, how that they refused to bow. And they said, "Be it known to you, we'll not bow because our God is able. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow." You see, they looked to God for power. Now, remember Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, there was a man sitting there asking for alms, and Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You see, he had power because he looked to Jesus for his power. Now, we can only run the race as we look to him and have our eyes on him. You see, if we start getting our eyes on circumstances around us, we'll never be able to continue in this race of faith, promise, missions, giving. And we need his power. Now, I want you to briefly, if you would, hold your place here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to show you how the churches at Macedonia looked to Jesus for power and how he gave them power. 2 Corinthians 8, and we'll see this. First of all, they gave out of poverty in verse 2. Well, let's begin and read verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Verse 2. "How then in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." You see, they were in deep poverty, and they gave out of their deep poverty. Now, I'm not rich by any means, but I'm not deeply impoverished. Now, some of you may say, "Brother Jeff, I'm poor. I just can't give." But I dare say that you're not in deep poverty. These people, I don't think, you know, most churches today get in a place to where, or most Christians in churches today get into a place where they're in deep poverty, brother. But these people were in deep poverty. And they didn't quit because there was a famine in the land. They didn't quit. So in spite of their circumstances, they still gave to their missions program at their church. Now look what God did for them. We see here it says the abundance of their joy. Now, if I were in deep poverty, I really don't think it would be an abundance of joy for me. But here there was an abundance of joy. Why? Because God was giving to them and blessing them and allowing them to give. And they were seeing results from it. And then it says, and so God giving them abundance of joy. And then it says, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, they had riches to give in their liberality. Isn't that something? In the midst of their deep poverty, it says they had riches to give liberally and to help the missions program at their church. Look here, and then verse 3, they gave beyond their power. And this is where we see their power. It says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." You see, how can a man give beyond their power? How can you give more than you're able to give? By faith, by trusting in God. You see, it's faith promise giving is not how much I can give, but it's how much I can trust God to supply through me. You may be asking yourselves or thinking yourselves as I'm preaching here, I don't have the resources to give to faith promise. But let me tell you something, you don't need great resources to give to the missions program at your church. Because God is great resources. Amen. You see, as long as you have God and you tap into His power by faith, He's great resources. And He'll meet your needs. You see, when I first, well, I mentioned just a few minutes ago that I just recently understood what Faith Promise Mission Giving was about 3 or 4 years ago. I'll tell you that story. You see, I used to work at UPS, and I was a supervisor there. I worked there very early in the morning. Then I would come in and work at the mission office. And we got a hold of Faith Promise Mission Giving. We started giving. But honestly, it really wasn't out of faith. We just gave, and we just trusted. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of trusting because I was getting paid quite a bit. And about 3 or 4 years ago now, God dealt with our heart about going full-time in the ministry, and God was working some things in us about going to Arizona at that time. And so I resigned from UPS, and when I did that, my income was almost cut in half. And at that time, you know, we were making a budget, and my wife says, "What are we going to do with Faith Promise Missions Giving?" When she's filling out the budget for the next month. This is right after I got done. And she says, "What are we going to do?" And God hit me, and I just said, "Well, it's supposed to be by faith. So we're just going to keep on giving it. That's what God's put on our heart. We're going to keep on giving it." Now, I'm talking, this is the way we did our budget. We would start at the top, and that would be our income. And then we would just subtract everything, and we'd spend every penny we had on paper. And we'd start at the top, and we'd say tithes and missions. And then we had the power bill and light bill, or the light bill and the water bill and so forth, groceries and all that stuff. When we got done filling out that budget for that month, -$5 was on that budget. And I said, "Well, God will meet it. God will do what we need." And I can honestly say for the past 3 to 4 years, God has fed us through our Faith Promise Missions Giving. You see, it doesn't matter of your circumstances. It doesn't matter of the economy. God's economy doesn't go according to Barack Obama. You see, it goes according to God's power. And if we trust in His power, we abound. We'll do the same thing as these people in Macedonia did. They abounded in riches and were able to give liberally. And we are able to give because we are trusting God to give that through us. And then, so they gave beyond their power. Now, I don't have the power to give what we give, but we trust God for it and we give it. Now, and then it says, and then we see here that they gave as partners. Look in verse 4. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now they gave as partners. Now when a church helps support a missionary, that missionary goes and preaches to sinners. But in the same time as he's preaching to sinners, he's ministering to the saints that support him. You see, you become partners with the missionary, or to use a biblical term, fellow laborers. You see, when you support these missionaries, are these your missionaries you have on the back wall here? When you support these missionaries, they are ministering to you by preaching to the sinners around the world. And you become fellow laborers with those missionaries. And so they gave as partners, and then they gave their person, and then they gave their possessions. Look in verse 5 and 6. It says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." You say, here's the secret. First of all, they gave themselves. You see, By the way, let me say this. If God has you, if you've given yourself to God completely, there should be no problem with you giving your tithe. The Bible clearly states that if you're not giving tithes, you're robbing God. So if you're not giving your tithe, faith promise giving is not for you. See, you have to give your tithe first. And I hope I'm correct when I say this, brother. If you're not giving your tithe, this church does not want your faith promise mission giving. Because God won't bless it if you're robbing from God. Now, let's get off of that for a minute. What I was going to say is, they first gave themselves. And so, you shouldn't have a problem giving your tithe. But when God has you, you shouldn't have a problem after that giving to the missions program of your church. See, the key here is that they were willing of themselves and they gave themselves first. And when they gave themselves to God, they said, God, I'm yours. And because I'm yours, everything I have belongs to you. And is that not the way it is? Amen. We're God's children. Everything he has belongs to him. Everything we have belongs to him. So we run with patience. That's our pace. We look to Jesus. He's our power, and we consider him. That's our purpose, back in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, the reason we give to missions is because of what Christ did for us. You see, one day, Christ was nailed to a cross, and he bore all the torments of hell on the cross for your sin. And the Bible says here we look to him and we are to consider him. Let me say it this way. When you write out your faith promise mission, or maybe let's say it this way instead. When you contemplate on whether you should be giving your faith promise missions to your local church, why don't you consider him? Consider what he done for you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and save that which was lost. You know, you'd still be in hell. You'd be in hell today if he didn't seek you out. But he sought us out. So when you write out your faith promise missions check and you wonder if you're going to be able to afford it, why don't you consider him? Consider what he's already done for you. Amen. And just take faith in that God's going to provide for you. John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that hath sent me and to finish his work. You see, the only purpose that God had when he came was to save sinners. And he says, that's my meat. That's what satisfies me. You see, meat, what it does is it satisfies us, doesn't it? When we get a big chunk of meat, big steak, man, we eat that, and that satisfies our hunger. But what else does it do? It strengthens us. It helps us to go and to continue working. But you know what it also does? Is it sustains us. It helps us go for a long time. You see, Christ said, this is my meat, is to finish his work. You see, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it satisfies us. It sustains us. It strengthens us. When we keep on doing it, he helps us along the way. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. So, when it comes to giving to the faith promise missions of your church, I want to tell you, church, consider him. Consider the fact that he became poor so you might be made rich. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Pastor, you come and lead this invitation as you see fit.